Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we'd like to just continue on in what I've been sharing on the subject of goodness. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 10 says, "Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So if there's no fruit in a person's life, they're in danger of judgment. Matthew 7:17, and this is again Jesus talking, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. We are the trees, and the fruit is what issues forth from our lives. A tree obviously can only produce its nature, and a Christian must allow the new nature of God to grow and to develop within him. Now, the fruit of the Spirit cannot operate independently. As I shared before, it's a harmonious whole. For example, good deeds are nothing without love. What's an example of Scripture to share with you? Well, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 3, Paul says, "Though I give all my goods to feed the poor and have not love, I am nothing." So the giving of goods, or even one's life, is a good act only when done with the motivation of love. Goodness cannot be real goodness until it has the other part of the fruit of the Spirit in it. How correct for the Holy Spirit to say in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 9, "The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness." God's good nature is manifested through His children in the fruit of good acts, sweetened by other aspects of spiritual fruit, of course. Goodness never operates alone any more than the other parts of the fruit operate alone. The fruit of the Spirit is not a solo, but a harmony of life. And then if you recall the parable of the sower, which is recorded in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 38 says, "The field is the world, and good seed are the children of the kingdom." Matthew 12:35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things." So we must be good first in order to bring forth good things. Doing, of course, is always based on being. And there's a very important requirement that we must do, if you will, to live a life based that will reflect the goodness and the glory of God, and that's the importance of daily asking for God's wisdom. In James, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, he tells us how the fruit works with wisdom. He says, "The wisdom from above is full of good fruit," and it takes wisdom to do good. James tells us that the wise man, endued with knowledge, will show his works with meekness of wisdom out of a good manner of life or conversation. James 4:17 says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's a pretty strong statement. And then, of course, we know goodness will bring eternal rewards. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 21, this is the commendation of the Lord when he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. God gave a parable of talents and pounds, and both had to do with a servant being faithful and being rewarded. And this appears to be related to the rewards given out at the judgment seat of Christ. A servant pleasing his master is like a branch on the vine. Both the branch and the servant give themselves over to be units of production. Both yield to the will of another, and both do what they are directed to do without question. What is the eternal reward? Well, it's joyful rulership. Inherent goodness is required of those to whom spiritual authority is committed. That's something important to realize. And as we go on in our Christian walk, there should be a hunger to grow. There should be a desire to receive more from the Lord than we already have. And you know what, beloved? The Lord yearns to give you more. And in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 24, it tells us how this may be gained. Take heed what ye hear. This is very, very interesting. And it's easy to read over that and just not really grasp what the Lord is saying. Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. In contrast, Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower and says, is a candle not to be set on a candlestick? With the Holy Spirit's help, let's apply this to your life. God has placed so much in you. He's placed his light that he desires you to share with others. Have you ever tried to talk with someone who wasn't really listening? I'm sure we've all had that experience. It's pretty frustrating, isn't it? Well, many times, if we're not careful, we can be just like those who physically heard the actual words of Jesus, but they weren't listening. That's why he repeatedly would say, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And if we, beloved, with a whole and a sincere heart, listen attentively to the things God is saying to us through his word, like the scriptures I've been sharing, the sermons that you hear, and if we act on it, you will be blessed and receive even more. So, beloved, when the Lord talks about real hearing, action is implicit in that. You and I, brother and sister, are an ambassador for Christ in this earth. God is love, and love gives. In fact, for love to be truly love, it must have an object of affection. Throughout eternity past, God was fully complete in himself. He needed nothing. Perfect agape love flowed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4 and 12 is a profound revelation of what our life is to be like. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. God desires to disclose himself. He wants to reveal himself not only to one another, but to a lost and dying world. And how will we see him? Well, if we love one another, his love is perfected in us. The characteristic of agape love is that it must be perfected. It is designed to run its full course, to carry through completely, and be brought to a purpose, end, and goal, an intended object. Jesus received the Father's love, and it flowed out. And beloved, if God's love stops at you, you're not yet being perfected. That love inside of you is not running its full course. God's love isn't perfected in your prayer closet, but it is perfected when you reach out to your neighbor. There's only one thing, beloved, better than experiencing this love, and that is reproducing it. So what can we do? Make a phone call, write that note, or however you're led, you can make a world of difference for someone. Praise God. Well, my time is drawing to a conclusion, and I would like to bring this broadcast to a close, but I would like to first of all, invite you to share your prayer requests with me. I have a portion of a letter from a sister writing in San Francisco, and she writes, "Dear Sister Judith, thank you so very much for the pretty get well card you sent me. I was made happy by its surprise and uplifted by your words and scripture quotations. I think of you, Sister Judith, as a source of Jesus's caring love, his help, and the promise of betterment. With enduring thanks and our dear Jesus's love that ever guides us, agape." A sister writing from San Francisco. Praise God. Well, let me just take a moment to pray with you. There are some I sense really wearied and tired in the spirit, and you're just worn out, and you need God's strength in body, soul, and spirit. So, Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and I pray for those, Lord, who are just weary. Lord, we thank you. Your word says not to be weary in well-doing, but, Lord, as we wait upon you, you will renew our strength. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that you will pour your strength right now into the top of their heads, to the soles of their feet, the strengthening, renewing power of Almighty God to flow into them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, it was your goodness that brought us to you, and Lord, it is your goodness that you desire to display to the world around us. Lord, help us to do that. Show us ways in which we can be kind and gentle and loving to one another, and to reach out to those who are in such desperate need that don't know you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. Praise God. Well, my time has just about come to a conclusion. I do invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,